Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you guys are able to join us for our 11:30 service. I'm really happy you're here. I'm Pastor Carolee. I'm actually the children's pastor here at West Winds, and so it's a bit of an anomaly that I'm up here. We are starting our series on belonging to the body. It's our kickoff month where we talk about the different ministries here at West Winds Community Church. We talk about our children's ministry one week. Next week, I think they're talking about our youth. And then the following week, we're talking about our life groups and all the different ways that you can become involved and belong to the body here at West Winds Church. Today, we're going to be looking at Romans 12. But just before we jump into that, I wanted to share a video that some of our kids and one of our leaders and one of our parents put together just to give you a glimpse into what Kids Church and Kids Church Online and preteen look like here at West Winds right now.
Kids ministry at West Winds is just simply amazing.
Kids Church preteen and VBS is important because we get to learn about God, make new friends, and play games.
The thing I like about Kids Church Online is that I can go to church in my PJs.
Kids Church has been important to me because it made me feel like a safe place where I could always be myself, especially when I didn't come to church as much.
Preteen's my favorite because you just get to hang out with friends and have a good time, learn about God, and we have really fun games like Nerf Wars, Ducko, different dark games. They're really fun.
My favorite kids ministry program is preteen because I get to hang out with my friends and do Bible lessons and play fun games.
So I think it's just important to give them that environment, that safety net, and just to let them grow up and be themselves and how God planned them to be themselves.
The love and care that is shown by all the leaders, you know, comes from a genuine heart.
I think it's helped me to learn more about Jesus and why it's important to be with them.
I think the good thing about it is that you learn about Jesus. And yeah, it's really fun making friends, learning about Jesus. And it just gets your brain going.
To include that guy. Every time he does something like that, I think it's the best thing ever. So cute. We are talking about belonging to the body. And I am a firm believer that it doesn't matter what age you are or what walk of life you come from, once you know Jesus, you are a part of this body. We're talking about what that looks like. But I have to tell you that I would not be a very good kids pastor if I didn't start with a game. Now, there aren't very many of you, but that's okay. I'm not going to get you to move around or anything. I will say that with Kids Church and with preteen, we've had to adapt, obviously, since COVID has changed the way that we do things, not only in church, but in the world around us. And so we adapted pretty quickly. We right away had Kids Church Online, and then we jumped into Kids Church On-Site, so we offer both. Kids Church On Site, we make sure we follow protocols that ensure social distancing as well as sanitation, cleanliness. We take temperatures when the kids enter Kids Church area. But we also know that there's this deep need for connection. Just like you and I feel that deep need for connection, kids need that connection to each other and to Christian leaders who can really come alongside them, encourage them, build them up, and disciple them. So we've been able to do that. There's lots of new opportunities as well as opportunities that existed before COVID for people to get involved. So if you're interested in getting involved, I encourage you, come talk to me. I'd love to hear from you. let's jump right into our game. So this game, we normally do this game, it's called Stand Up, Sit Down. But just to make sure everyone stays where they're supposed to, we're going to call this Hands Up, Hands Down. Okay? So I'm going to read a phrase, and if it applies to you, you have to put your hand up. If it doesn't apply to you, your hand stays down. Okay? So the first question is, how many of you brushed your teeth today? Now, hopefully everyone's telling the truth, but how many of you can tie your own shoes? How many of you are over the age of 19? How many of you have children? How many of you have grown children and you're like, yeah, I'm done? How many of you can sing It Is Well or Amazing Grace by heart? How many of you can recite the 23rd Psalm? How many of you are able to draw Pikachu? How many know who Pikachu is? How many of you have your own Roblox account? It's a video game. Just in case you didn't know. How many of you have gone to university, college, or seminary? How many of you can play the piano, the guitar, the drums, the zither, the lyre, trombone, sure, throw in some horns, brass. How many of you are secretly ventriloquists? Nobody. How many of you are experts in video production, social media communication, or online algorithms? Now, how many of you have met Jesus, chosen to follow him, and how many of you had Jesus make a significant difference in your life? Today we're talking about belonging to the body of Christ. And first question I'm going to ask you is why? Why do we belong to the body of Christ? Why is it important to belong to the body of Christ? And we're going to be looking at Romans 12. Now we're looking at the whole chapter. I'm going to warn you from the outset because it's kind of going to be this whirlwind trip through Romans 12. It's going to be really quick. So we're starting right at the beginning of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, when we question why is it important to belong to the body of Christ? And why do we choose to belong to the body of Christ? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Basically, the reason why we belong to the body of Christ is because we've experienced his love and his mercy, the sacrifice that God made for us, giving up his one and only son so that we could be united with him and have relationship with him. But here's the thing. When we belong to God, we also belong to the body. We belong to each other. And this is important to remember. We also can look at this and we're like, okay, so I belong to the body of Christ, but how do I do that? What does that look like? We're often met with a couple different excuses when we ask people to get involved. The first excuse is, and that sounds kind of harsh, the first reason people give is that they don't feel qualified, that they don't have anything to offer. They think, well, I've never worked with kids before, and I'm speaking from experience of working with children, trying to get people involved in kids ministry, because that's kind of where I'm at. But it really applies to almost any ministry in the church and any opportunity to serve in the community. But people will say, well, I don't really work with kids. I've never really worked with them. I don't have children. Or, you know, I'm only 16 years old. I don't have any marketable skills. I can't play any instruments. I can't do anything online. I'm not very good on the camera. All these different things, which probably most of those I would have said, you know, a few months back. We've had to adapt. The reality is God gives you the gifts that you need when you need them. So whether you think you're qualified or not, if there's an opportunity in front of you and God is calling you, he's put that on your heart, he's going to equip you for exactly what he's calling you to do. So when you start to ask how and you feel like you're incapable or you don't have what it takes, just remember who you serve and what he's capable of. How powerful he is, how gracious he is, how good he is, and that he is going to give you whatever you need for whatever it is he's calling you to. The second reason people use is because they think that some of the opportunities are, let's be honest, beneath them. Some people think, well, I have this skill, but honestly, am I really going to use it in kids ministry? I really am looking for a bigger opportunity. I'd really like to impact more people than just the 15 kids that are downstairs at 10:15 on Sunday morning. But the reality is, when we come to God, when we become a part of his family, there is an expectation from him for us to act humbly. So there's this response of humble confidence that he calls us to. He says, Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you." We may be asking what it is that God's expecting of us, and what he's expecting is humble obedience, just being willing to step into the place he's called us to. Some of you might be thinking, well, what do I do? What do I do? There's so many opportunities. How do I narrow it down? I want to jump into kids ministry. I want to jump into ministry to life groups. I so want to be involved. I know all of you are feeling that right now. You're chomping at the bit. So what? What can we do, Carolee? Well, this is the reality. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So this is it. We have these gifts that God has given us. And you're like, well, I'm not very gifted. Kind of a dud. I used to think that. I'm not very good at anything. I always used to say, I'm kind of the German shepherd of ministry. I don't really excel at anything specific. People say, well, what's so great about German shepherds? They kind of are a jack of all trades. That's what makes them so great for police work. They're not the best at sniffing out scents or tracking people or things or detecting things. They're not the fastest dog. They're not the most strong dog, but they're decent at everything. And that's why they choose them for so much police work, because they can cover a lot of bases, even though they don't excel in one. And oftentimes I've felt that way. Like, well, I'm not, you know, super great at anything, but I am starting to realize that it's not about me. It's never been about me and what I can do. It's all about what God wants to do through me, and it's all about what God wants to do through you. He's gifted each one of us. Some of us, it might be the ability to connect with someone personally, to really connect with them, to really listen. For other people, maybe you are a gifted worship leader. Like, when you worship, other people around you just want to worship too. For some of you, it might be music. Like, when you're on your guitar and you start jamming out, everyone's like, yeah, like they're doing rock fingers and they're super excited. For some of you, it might be clean, and that sounds like, oh, Carolee. No, I'm serious. Speaking as someone who is not a fan of cleaning too much, cleaning is not a spiritual gift, but it is a skill and a talent. And if you have that, shine on, especially now. Oh, my goodness. If your thing is cleaning, now is the time to shine. The thing is, God has given each one of us spiritual gifts. He's given each one of us talents. He's given each one of us skills. He's also put us in positions where we have resources, different resources that we can share with the community. And the thing is, he doesn't want us to just sit back and relax, just come in and chill out when we come to church. Being a part of the body means that we have to be active. Have you ever seen someone's arm after they get a cast off? And you look at their arms side by side, they look totally different. One of the things that always kind of weirds me out is that their arm is usually a little bit hairier. It's strange, but true. The other thing is that the muscle on the arm that's been casted is usually much thinner. And it's because it's atrophied from lack of use. And it takes time for the person to gain back the same strength that they had before they broke it. It's simply because the muscle hasn't been used. They didn't necessarily break the muscle. It's still there. It's still functional. But because it was in the cast, it didn't get used and it atrophied. It got weak. And that's what happens. When we're not letting God use us and use our gifts, our talents, our abilities, and our resources, we atrophy spiritually. And so we need to be allowing God to use us in whatever way he calls us to. The question is now, who? Who are we supposed to serve? Well, Paul does a great job at kind of laying this out for us. So we're going to read through it. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now he goes on. He says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another and do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, if the question is who, pretty much everyone. That's the question who we're supposed to be serving. It talks about people who are part of the body of Christ, people who are in need, people who are mourning, people who are rejoicing, people who are enemies, people who persecute us. Everyone we are supposed to be loving and serving. Everyone. Nobody gets left out. And the thing is, sometimes we forget how much love God has shown us. And this is one thing that over the past several years has been driven home to me time and time again. This truth of God's love for each one of us, God's love for you, has to be so forefront in your mind. It is so important that we remember what God saved us from and how he saved us and how much he loves us, because that is the only way for us to effectively love the world around us and to really reflect the glory of who he is. We need to be reflecting his love, but we also need to be remembering how much he loves us in order to do that. So we need to use the gifts that we have, that God has given us, the talents, the skills, the abilities, spiritual gifts, resources. We need to use those different gifts to serve all the people in our lives that we have opportunity to serve. And then the question is, when? When should we do this? I have two stories, actually. Earlier in the service, I did the first story a little bit earlier on. Sometimes we hesitate to get involved. We think, oh, we'll wait for the right time. There was this time we went up to Whistler and for my birthday a couple of months ago, and we were walking through the village. They had just opened that week, and so it wasn't as busy. We went out before the weekend, and we're walking through the village, and this dad rides by on his mountain bike, and this little girl rides by on her mountain bike, and all of us, our heads just whip. Because the little girl was tiny. She would look like she was about 4 or 5 years old. She was a tiny, tiny little girl. There were no training wheels, and she wasn't this wobbly, you know, the kids who ride their bikes and they're all wobbly when they first start out, and you kind of walk past them and you kind of give them a wide berth because you're thinking, they could go either way. They could run into me or go into the ditch. I don't know what's going to happen. This little girl was not like that. She was fully confident in her ability to manage that mountain bike. She looked so miniature compared to this mountain bike. She was tiny, tiny, tiny. And even my husband and my kids, all four of us, our heads whipped, and my son goes, "She is so little." I'm like, "Yeah, but isn't that amazing that she's on her bike?" Her parents had the confidence to stick her on that bike. And not only that, once they showed that confidence in her, she rode. She went for it. She took that opportunity to jump on that bike and ride with all her might. And I think sometimes we do the opposite. We don't recognize that God has given us this opportunity to serve. There's so many opportunities for us to show others how much God loves us and how much God loves them, that we forget that he has confidence in us, not because of our own abilities, but because of him pouring life and strength and all the things we need into us so that we can live out for him. He's like that dad, that confident dad, and we need to be like that little girl, just giving her on that mountain bike, fully confident because we know our Father has confidence in us. And once we have that confidence, once we're ready to move out, sometimes it is seriously a leap of faith, then we need to know that the time is now. There is no perfect moment. It's today. It's the here and now. It's seeing the needs in front of us and acting, not sitting back and thinking someone else will fill that, someone more qualified, someone who's more able to do that, someone who's better with kids or better with youth or whatever. If you see the need, there's a reason why you see it. There's a reason why God has opened your eyes and your heart to that need. A couple weeks ago, I went on a walk with my friend. My neighbor and I are really good friends, and during COVID, we missed each other so much, so we've started planning regular social distancing walks just so that we can stay connected. Our sons are in the same class in school, and so it's really neat to have a friend that I've had for that long and being able to stay connected with her. But because we have kids and we both work, then a lot of times the only time to go for a walk is at night. And so this one night, it was about 8:30 when we finally got to meet up and go for a walk outside in our neighborhood. And it was already getting dark. About 10 minutes into the walk, it was actually quite dark. And we made it to this wide bike path, and it's paved, but there's bushes all around. And at one point, it kind of forks. And we were going left and left the path that was going right. But just as we were making the turn, we heard this little grunting sound. And it was just kind of like, eh, eh, eh. And my friend and I kind of looked at each other and were like, what's that? So we went back to check and see what the sound was. And it was a little boy, about 5 or 6, quite small. And he's kneeling on the ground with an arm. He's trying to, arms full of Hot Wheels and action figures. And there's a scooter lane beside him. And we're looking at this little boy. And he's trying, every time he reaches down for another car, more falls out of his arms. And it's just so, it's too much. So we're like, hey, buddy, what's going on? He's like, I just need to get home. It's just over there. I just need to get home. I said, okay, well, you've got a lot of stuff. Yeah, my friend gave me some cars, but I just need to get home. My scooter. And you can see his little mind. He's trying to figure out how this is going to work, and there's no way it was going to work. So we said, oh, we'll help you get home. So I pick up a scooter, and my friend picks up a few of his cars, And we just walk with them, and we're talking to them. So where's your house? Oh, it's just over there. It's just, do you see it? And we're like, no, oh, sure. He's like, it's just over there. So we follow him as he leads us back to his house and put his scooter down, make sure he gets all his little cars and action figures. His mom's sitting on the porch. The porch light is on, and she's clearly expecting him to come home. And she kind of looks at us, and we're like, well, his hands were kind of full. We just wanted to make sure he got home safe. So here you go. She's like, thank you. Thank you so much. And then the little boy's like, there's my car. There's my dad's car. And he's like showing us around. But we said goodbye, and that was that. Now, a few days ago when I was prepping for this message, I was like, God, I need a connecting point. And he reminded me of this story. He said, Carolee, that is everyone who doesn't know me. I'm waiting for them to come home. And they are struggling. They are carrying way too much. There's too many burdens for them to carry on their home. They can't make it. And that's what you, as the body of Christ, is supposed to do. You're supposed to come alongside and help carry the burdens. You're supposed to help them come home. So when we ask the question of when, the answer is now. Now more than ever, people need connection. Now more than ever, people need hope. They need to know that there is a God who loves them beyond comprehension, that there is hope without measure, and that there is a peace that he can give them that passes all understanding. Because the burdens are too great for them to carry on their own. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for your love and for your sacrifice for us. I thank you, God, for the opportunity to be a part of what you're doing. And I pray right now, God, for each one of us, whatever area, whatever situation you're wanting us to step into and minister in, God, I pray that you would lead us and that we would be humbly obedient and fully confident in how you've equipped us. I pray, God, that you would give us eyes to see those who are hurting and broken, those who are in need, and that you would give us the courage to act, the compassion to come alongside them and help carry their burdens. Thank you, God, for your grace to us. Help us to truly be a part of this body. Help us to truly be a reflection of who you are. We pray this in your name.